deep blue Pacific waters sparkle beyond the balcony of your tropical villa. The sun embraces you with its gentle warmth as you sip a frozen strawberry concoction. You haven't a care in the world. No nagging pressures, no demands, no commitments. This is too good to be true, you think. And it is. Out of nowhere come a short, insistent blast of your alarm. It's 6:30 a.m. Yippee. Your blissful dream sinks like a rock. Heart racing and adrenaline surging, you jump to your feet. It's showtime. Go, go, go. Another hectic day of back-to-back meetings waiting, and you're feeling the weight of the day come on. You dress in record time and scarf down a breakfast bar while checking your email, only to be bombarded by 34 new messages. In the background, Channel 16 reporters announce the current Homeland Terrorist Alert Level, orange, no less. An update on the latest Middle East bombing follows the news of a hijacking in Pakistan. And it's not yet 7:30 a.m., and too much information is flying at you already. When does it stop? At 7:15, you grab your briefcase and laptop, jump into your SUV, and race to the office. The drive to Allentown is no less hurried and frantic as you zoom down Route 78 with a cell phone in one hand, a Dunkin' Donuts coffee in the other. Don't all drivers steer with their knees? Dodging several idiots in one collision, you exit the highway and screech to a complete halt at the stoplight. Ah, it's here, your first break of the morning, offering just enough time to download a new message to your iPhone or glance in the mirror to take care of some last-minute grooming issues. Three lights later, you're pulling into the parking garage and realize you missed yet another, unscheduled but hoped-for, time for morning prayer. Once upon a time, you vowed to start each day with some quiet reflection and solitude, because deep down you really do desire a simpler life. But as much as you hunger for peace and tranquility, they always elude you. The pressure from every side that comes from trying to hold it all together is unbearably intense. Eventually, something's got to give. Your greatest fear is that if you did slow down or let go of even one thing, then everything would spin completely out of control. Then what? Nervous breakdown? Funny farm? Not this week. You don't have time. If I was to ask for a show of hands, I would imagine quite a few of you here would say that that sounds like your lives. When or how did we let ourselves become so busy? Let me say something before I continue. I admit I have all these problems I'm going to be talking about this morning. Maybe that's why whenever a couple months ago Pastor Sonny asked if I would talk this morning, God kept bringing this sermon back to me. I'm thinking if I talk about it, maybe I'll actually listen for myself. Unless you've been living in some remote foreign country, you will certainly relate to the concept of information and choice overload. You know all too well the overwhelming feeling that a list of growing responsibilities and 24/7 connectivity can produce. Sadly, we've come to the point where this kind of busy, out-of-control lifestyle is normal. But why is that? Society applauds the fast trackers. Being busy is a cultural status symbol for sort. Even our friends encourage it. Let's face it, to be busy, or at least to appear that way, is to be important. Awards, real or imagined, are given based upon our willingness to overextend ourselves with volunteer activities, extra time at work, and meaningful involvement in the community. We receive bonuses, praises from our peers, and self-satisfaction of being dubbed a selfless man or woman. We are rewarded by being the person who burns the candle at both ends. Who is really coming out ahead in this race we are running? Certainly not us or our families. The only person that's winning is Satan, and he's laughing the whole way to the finish line. Let's face it, when we are overextending ourselves, we aren't allowing enough quiet time for God in our lives. And if we aren't making enough time for God in our lives, then we are giving Satan the little inch that he needs to slowly but surely take over our lives. Solitude. It isn't something we practice very often, and why not? While the constant noise and stimulation in our lives are producing our own kind of stress, We seem to prefer that to the uneasiness we may feel if we stop. Few of us today would deliberately choose solitude over silence. The idea just seems, well, a little weird. But solitude and silence are precisely where all the good stuff happens, or at least where we are prepared to receive and appreciate the good and wonderful things in life. Solitude and silence are not only instructive, they can actually be transforming if only we try them. Sometimes we are forced into solitude by unforeseen circumstances, but whether we choose solitude or it is chosen for us, it has great power to transform us. Remember the movie Castaway? I think we've watched that so many times at our house. In it, Tom Hanks played a busy FedEx executive named Chuck. He survives a plane crash on Christmas Eve. After plummeting into the ocean during a terrifying storm, Chuck is washed up on an island, utterly and completely alone. For the next 4 years, this hardworking, make-it-happen man is marooned with no company at all, except for the volleyball named Wilson. Finally, he constructs a raft and is rescued. But he returns to his old life, he clearly is a different man with different priorities. Something happened to Chuck while he was in solitude that would not have happened otherwise, even though he did not choose his lonely circumstances. Jesus had a demanding job. He went away to be re-energized through prayer, quiet meditation, and to spend personal time with close friends. Jesus, like many of us, was either unable or unwilling to spend large amount of time away from his responsibilities. So he maintained a wise rhythm in the midst of his ministry life. The Bible speaks of many instances where Jesus took time to get away from the crowds, even his disciples, to spend time alone with God. Jesus took time off when he had enough of people. Why can't we? The Bible says, during times in his life, Jesus withdrew from his disciples and the crowds to be alone to pray. He often went up on a mountainside or went to a solitary or lonely place to pray. Sometimes he even went to pray very early in the morning while it was still dark. Matthew 14:22-23 says, after the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. If even Jesus had to make time to be alone, it is safe to say that we also need to take a break and get away by ourselves to think and pray. When the boys were little, getting away was a little hard to do. But I found two activities that I liked to do that gave me time to be by myself and time to think and pray. They were pulling weeds in my flower beds and mowing the grass. I guess the boys were afraid to come around for fear I'd ask them to help. Everyone needs to find their own quiet place to meditate and pray. Spending time with God doesn't require an all-day hike up the mountain. It could be as easy as getting up before everyone in your house or sitting on your porch swing. Remember the good old days when friends and family used to spend the summer evenings on the front porch visiting? Not much of that goes on anymore. Now we have hundreds of friends on Facebook that we reach out to. Now I have a Facebook page, and I do post to it, but it isn't nearly as rewarding as swinging back and forth on a swing with a neighbor or a close friend talking about how our day went. Mark 7:24 says, Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered the house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not keep his presence a secret. Jesus wearied of constant people contact, just as we do. Even those of us who are extreme people persons have our people limits. So he hid at a friend's house in hopes of finding seclusion. By taking a people break, we give our bodies time to refuel so that when our lives interact once more with others, we will be sincere and productive. In addition to placing a priority in times of solitude, there is no indication that Jesus tried to do it all. In his times of activity, he didn't even attempt to meet every need and teach every person. And if anyone is aware of the needs out there and the urgency of the message, it was him. It wasn't that he was unconcerned, but rather that he understood what it meant to be human and have limits. I think we need to take a lesson from Jesus. We don't have to try to do it all. I will be the first to admit that that's a little hard to do. Many of us act as if limits do not exist. Here are a few suggestions. Limiting your availability. Block out times for you and your family when you cannot be reached. Despite what culture says, it's not rude, it's necessary. A cell phone or pager may not be a wise choice for you. Use the technology that helps you control your life, not the kind that controls you. And there are a few of us in here that have that problem. Limiting your choices. New choices require decisions. Decisions require evaluation. Evaluation requires time. So, from the meals you serve your family to which phone company you select, pick your favorites and stick with them. Limiting your commitments. Scheduling times of solitude, but writing them in on your calendar or putting them in your phone. Pray about everything you are asked to do before you say yes. Make sure that it lines up with God's strategic plan for you. Realize that most things take more time than we expect and plan accordingly. Redefine spiritual activity as anything you do in response to God's desires for you. This means that sometimes the most spiritual thing is getting enough sleep. Get true rest by using the Sabbath for rest. Instead of filling your free time with fun activities and chores, use it to help your soul get refreshed and ready for what God has in store. Committing yourself to doing things slower. It's hard to hear God and see opportunities when we're living at 110 miles per hour. Learn to laugh when life brings the unexpected. One person, after a Southern Florida hurricane devastated his house, put up a sign in the front that read, "Open House." It may not have solved the problem, but it surely helped him make it through it. God is worth taking seriously, but life is often worth a good laugh. Alone with God. This was a habit with Jesus, and it needs to become a habit in our lives. This is not something you are going to do one time, but something you need to do for the rest of your life. If you want to get God's vision for your life and hear God's voice, you need to meet with him daily. These habits of Jesus teach us some important truths about prayer. That we may pray well in a group or in a prayer meeting, there is a great need to get alone and pray. For this, if necessary, we need to find a place within our home or elsewhere where we can be free of disturbances. We need to get away from people too. Though the company of believers is helpful for fellowship, for in some intense prayer, we need to be alone. That is why Jesus got up early and also went into solitary places to pray. It is in such undisturbed quietness that our souls will be ready to understand what God is telling us. Because God does not shout his message to us, but he gently whispers them to us. 1 Kings 19:12 says this by saying, "And God will speak thus only to those who have shut down every other sound and make every other presence to hear the voice of God." In our fast-paced lives, how are we going to hear what God has to say to us if we don't stand still and quietly listen what he has to say? A great example of the consequences of being too busy is shown in Luke 10:38-42. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord said, "you are worried and upset by many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." If we are honest, most of the time we resemble Martha, not Mary. We rush around doing things that need to be done, while missing the glimpses of Jesus around us. It is difficult as it is, we must intentionally make the effort to slow down and model Mary because, as Jesus himself said, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. We must be intentional about making time to be with Jesus. Let the phone ring. The chores will wait. Social media could use a break anyways. Those things are not eternal. Jesus is eternal. Let us make the effort to sit at his feet and enjoy him rather than miss him like Martha did because she was fussing over the dishes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you give each and every one of us the ability to slow down and to listen to what you have to say. May we then use what you have told us to become better Christians. Amen.